So what are your favorite names for God? I'm not sure if you have a favorite one. I was actually considering maybe asking you to call them out in terms of what your favorite names might be. Is it Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace? Maybe Yahweh, the personal God, the great I am? Or the bread of life, or the light of the world? Or maybe this one, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort? And maybe more than thinking of our favorite name or that name that we connect to the most, think about why that is. What circumstances in your life has connected you to that? Is it a painful experience, a difficult experience, a message that you heard one time where you, maybe it went through the names of God or going through a certain scripture? I mean, it's certainly true that the names of God gives himself, that he gives himself or others give to him are very important to God. And when God gives himself a name or allows a name to be expressed in Scripture, that's there to reveal his character, to remind us of his acts. I think it encourages us to believe and it convicts us to follow. Now, at the tail end of Exodus 17, Moses gives God a name that we'll need to spend some time on this morning. I'm not sure if we will get to chapter 18 because of the fact that we have communion, and I do want to take time to pray for those people on the wall. But find your way to Exodus 17, and we'll read just verses 15 and 16. Now remember the context of these verses, that God has allowed Israel to have a great victory in terms of, you know, them just dealing with this attack from the Amalekites. And if you remember the miracle that happened, as Moses raises his hands, the Israelites are victorious, and when he lowers them, then the Amalekites are victorious. And when Moses, in his advanced age, gets tired, we understand what that is, right? Getting more tired than you ever were before. But anyways, that's a distraction. Yeah. But he can't do it, so Aaron and Hur come up and support his arms. In fact, you know, in talking about Melanie Barlow brought up this point, that she had never caught that Moses sat down in order for them to help him lift his arms. Because ultimately, she's a nurse, so she knows these things. Because if his hands were standing up and did this, they would have to raise their hands to lift his hands up. But if he's sitting down, now they can do this. And you know you can do this longer, hold this longer than you can do this, right? Try it. No, I'm joking. Anyway, so that's the miracle that God provided. And so verses 15 and 16 of 17 says this, Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generations." Now, it would be very common to do something to recognize someone who is significant in a battle. You know, we have monuments around our country that recognize people that were significant in battles. You would have different altars or different things or insignia, whatever it might be, in terms of recognizing people that were helpful to a nation in terms of the victories won. But notice here that it's not Moses or Joshua that is being identified here or is being recognized in terms of their part, but it is God himself. And so as Moses makes this altar and declares a new name for God, "The Lord is my banner," or Jehovah Nissa is what is there in the Hebrew. Now the Hebrew means "my hand on God's throne." Certainly a reference to Moses' connection, his understanding that the reason why his hands could be powerful in order to bring victory to the Israelites is because ultimately his hands were on God's throne. But what I want us to think about this morning is how banners were normally used, how banners even are used in our time, in our experience. And I think first and foremost, banners are used for identification. I mean, basically, each of the 12 tribes of Israel had a banner. And basically, when you saw that banner, that was your way to identify, that's my tribe. That's where I belong. That's who I am. And when I think about the identification that a banner communicates to us, it really does speak to who am I and whose am I? I think it's a primary question that we confront in terms of our lives. Who am I? What am I here for? Where did I come from? What do I identify with? What is it the thing that makes me important? What is it, the thing that kind of wakes me up in the morning and I kind of define myself by? You know, something that we've been challenged by this week in terms of the fan, not a fan study, is really thinking about whether the things, in terms of the things we have or the things we are, whether we possess them or they possess us. And a point that I brought up in the context of the sessions that I led is that almost by definition, we as human beings are trying to connect with things to make ourselves important, to define ourselves as. And you can't help but in living your life, I don't care if you're a carpenter, if you're an educated person, if you're particularly strong or athletic or beautiful, as you pursue life, particularly outside of Christ, see, the minute you don't identify yourself with Jesus, and you identify yourself as being a good mother, being a good father, whatever it might be, you just can't help by making that your identity. Making that thing that you have or are, the thing that defines who you are. But what we have to recognize is when we do that, we ultimately become slaves to those things. That ultimately those things start possessing us rather than us possessing them. And again, it's all about identification. It's all about how do we define ourselves. And one thing God is saying, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one that I identify with. See, that's the only banner we can hang under or identify with that we end up being free. Because basically God, when we say the Lord is my banner, God is able to give us freedom to become who He's created us to be. That we connect with the very essence of what we're meant to be. But see, when we identify with other things, what I mean by being slaves to those things is that the minute now life comes around and challenges that, now what happens in your soul? Now what things occupy you? Are you afraid now? Are you worried now? Is there stress in your life? Well, all of a sudden maybe your banner is, again, you're a good mother, you're a good father, and all of a sudden there's something that threatens your children. You're a good employee, and I can work, and all of a sudden you have an injury. I'm healthy, and I'm vital, and I'm a good athlete, and all of a sudden you lose an arm. Well, that's what life brings, right? That's what old age brings. Just losing these capacities. And the more we are established and defining ourselves by things outside of ourselves, we actually find those things to be an unfirm foundation, that they're not sufficient to identify ourselves in. So just understand that one of the things that Moses would have us internalize, God would have us internalize by saying, you know something, Moses, when you give me this name, you're right. I do want to be a banner. It's fitting for you to say Jehovah Nissa, the Lord is my banner, because it's right for you to identify yourself with me. I think banners were also used as a rallying point. In other words, when the banners of Israel would be brought out, well, okay, where's your tribe? You know, you ever been in a context with a group and they're doing some kind of group connecting thing, a group game, and they count off, and you're a one, and this guy's a two, and this guy's a three, this guy's a four, and you have people going, where are the fours? Where are the twos? See, pastors always, when we pray together, it's always count up by sevens, and then all the threes go with the threes, and the fours go, and we, yeah, okay. You know, maybe this is more part of my world than you, than yours. But otherwise, what's happening there is, if you're a three, you know where you belong. Like, you know this is the group that you're part of. And see, in addition to the Christian life and God's heart and His direction for our lives, about us being identified with Him is us being identified with a group. Us being identified with a community. So once again, when God says the Lord is my banner, see, not only am I engaging with God for identification, I'm engaging with others that also are identifying with God. You know, so even when we think about the context that this name comes in, when what is really being reinforced is how we help each other, how we assist each other. I mean, we certainly saw that in Exodus 17 when Aaron and Hur come around Moses, and when Moses couldn't do something, they were able to do something. In Exodus 18, we'll have to probably get to this next week, like I said, but this is when Jethro comes to Moses and says, Moses, why are you bearing this burden all by yourself? Why aren't you delegating responsibility? Let people do what they can do so you're free to do things that only you can do. But ultimately, for you to handle things the way you're handling it, you're being stressed out, your energy is being sapped, and they're waiting a long time. I mean, they're waiting on you to make a judgment, and they're waiting all day for you to make a judgment when sometimes it's just a simple thing. Like, you gotta open up the 10 or less checkout. Because if you only have 5 items, you should go through quick, right? Don't stand behind the person that got 20. You know, but we'll get to, that's a good analogy. I'll have to remember that next week. But anyways, this is God saying that as we are part of a community, as we ultimately identify that banner is a rallying point in terms of us coming together as fellow believers, again, it reminds us that two are better than one. That the three-cord strand is not easily broken. And so when we think about us carrying each other's burdens, joining each other's in our joys and in our sorrows, that is something that, again, is part of God saying, I am Jehovah Nissa. I am the Lord is my banner. I think it's also a sign of protection or a sign of covering. When we think about a banner. See, when we come under the banner and when we come under, you know, whatever that banner defines, again, if it's defining a military unit, it's defining a tribe of Israel, it's defining the fact that you're with God, that we understand that there's protection there. In other words, if you see the insignia on the back of a car of the Marines, right? Hoo-ah! You know, you go, if you're a fellow Marine, you go over there and just blah, 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 you know, just, what did you do? What unit were you in? Blah, blah, blah. But see, for you, there's a protection in that. See, it's not only identification, it's not only a rallying point, but you know that if you saw a fellow Marine, even if it was years ago that you were in a unit and you saw your Marine, he was down today, you'd assist that person. Because there's protection, there's a covering that's part of being under a banner. And what we have to understand is God coming to us as Jehovah Nissa, the Lord is my banner, there's protection, there's power, there's support that's identified in that banner. Can you think of the last thing that a banner communicates? It's a thing to follow, right? See, in other words, when you have a banner, when the banner is brought out, yeah, it's my identification. This is how I know who I am. This is how I know whom I'm with. This is what I know is the protection over my life. But when now the banner goes out, where do I go? If my banner is walking out, then I am now following that. See, in other words, as we consider and think about a banner being a rallying point, see, it's not a rallying point to stay still. You know, it's not a rallying point to say, all right, we all realize we're here, right? Good, now let's go home. What? No. God is saying, the Lord is my banner. Let's come together. Let's connect this community as we are connecting individually with God. Let's glean the protection that comes from God himself and from each other. And now let's move forward. Let's follow the path. Let's follow the way that God has for us to go. Let's consider the things that he's calling us to. You know, as I prayed, we just have to understand the exciting aspect of part of the Christian life is to just be directed by God. You know, when we consider, am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? In other words, if I'm just standing on the sidelines and saying, yeah, I like all these things that you offer me, God. Why? Forgiveness is great. Unconditional love, I want that. Yeah, I like all these things about your character, about your provision, your promise to take care of me, wonderful. But you know something, if I'm not following God, I'm not even receiving those things in the way that God would want me to. So we have to understand that an inherent part of God coming to us in terms of saying, the Lord, I am your banner, Jehovah Nissa, is that I want you to follow me. So to the extent that you connect with, yeah, identification in a banner, yes, community in a banner, yes, protection in a banner, now I want to follow that banner. And you know something that's true about God is that in any name of God, I don't care if you're Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissa, Jehovah Shalom, or whatever, the bread of life, the living water, light of the world, whatever it is, that in that name is both an offer and a how dare you. Let me tell you what I mean. On one level, God is offering us something in terms of saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm willing to be for you and I welcome you to receive it. I welcome you to come to know me as God so I can be your banner. So it's the welcoming, it's the forgiving, it's the unconditional love that basically takes us in the context of our need, in the context of our humility, and says, God, am I acceptable? Like, is this okay? Like, can I follow you? Will you let me in? Will I be acceptable? And that's where, yes, this is an offer. I am your banner. I want to be your banner. I welcome you to join me. I welcome you to identify with me. I welcome you to glean from my power. But then there's also a how dare you part. And what I mean by that is, in some ways, how dare we not follow? Like, what presumption is in our hearts when we try to do it on our own? How much is it, like, what are you thinking about when you don't, each and every moment of each and every day, put yourself under God's banner? I mean, what are you thinking? Like, how are you defining reality when you engage in something without God? What are you thinking of in terms of who you are, who God is, that makes you think that you even can make it on your own? See, because in addition to the part of us that is humble and needy and recognizes our need for God, desires for God, eternity placed in our heart, that God is reaching out to us and we desire to follow Him, we have to recognize there is a prideful part of us. That there is our sin nature inside of us that is very willful. You know, and there's a part where God comes and says, you know something, I want to allay your fear, I want to allay your worry, I want to free you from that anxiety. And sometimes when we unpack that fear, we unpack that anxiety, we find that behind the, I really don't want this, I'd really rather not be anxious, I'd really, really not want to be afraid, there's actually a willfulness that wants to hold on to that. There's actually a part of us that says, no, I'm sorry, this is the way I negotiate through problems. I'm used to being afraid. I know what that looks like. I need this. This is how I define myself in terms of how I solve things. No, I get angry. No, I go out and I try harder. This is what, and you're going to tell me, God, that now the system that I've developed, how I solve problems, that's not okay? That now I need to rely on you? And there's a part of that that is, how dare you? How dare you come to the God of the universe, the one who has created you, and say you can disregard him? You can sometimes make it without being under his banner. And so we have to think about that. We have to think about, again, the call that God has on our lives, even in terms of us being in as a congregation and coming across this name, the Lord is my banner, and all the implications that we have as we're considering this question. Am I a follower and not a fan? You know, I'm not sure to what extent you really listen to worship and really think about the words, but I was struck this morning of how this connected to what I was going to say. It says, tell me that you'll never leave and everything will be okay. Like, do you really believe that? Because if you do, you know what that means? Then everything goes okay. Because you know what God has told you? I'm never going to leave. Now, do you think about that when you're singing that? Like, do you think about, tell me that you'll never leave and everything? See, emotionally with music, we say, yeah, I'm with that. I'm moved by that expression. But do you think about the times that you're not okay? The times you spent in worry? The times you spent in fear? The time you spent trying to control things and manage things when God was saying, hey, take a rest. Don't control that. I control that. You still do your part, you still do the work, but don't do it with a control perspective in terms of that. You know, so therefore, see, to me, as we're singing those words, we should be thinking that. Like, in what ways wasn't I okay, and to what extent was I not remembering that God has said, I'm never going to leave you.
that I'm always going to be there. You know, because ultimately, when we think about what God is calling us to, He is calling us to a sustenance and a joy and a peace that is all about being in His presence. You know, and that in your presence is where I belong? Absolutely. And that's what God is telling us in saying, the Lord is your banner. The Lord is our banner. Come unto me. Identify with me. Rally around me. Gain my protection. And now follow. Because as you follow me, you will find an aspect of life that you never imagined could even be possible. Where now circumstances, people, don't even matter. It doesn't matter if the thing you... Because when you're identifying with Christ, if you lose something, not a big deal. You lose your job, well, okay, if God's got another provision. God's got another way. You lose an ability. You lose an aspect of, again, what you've identified. It doesn't matter. See, we're not connected to things anymore. It's not only not connected to possessions, it's connected to ideas. Again, it's connected to that inner part of myself that unwittingly identifies itself, defines itself by other things. And God says, I want you to be free of that. You know, this past week, one of my children, you know, and ultimately probably trying to manipulate me, said, well, yeah, that's being a good father. That hurt. Because I like to think that I'm a good father. But you know what I do in reaction to that? Is I get mad. Oh, yeah, I'm not a good father. Never. See, but what does that say to me? I'm connected to that idea? So you've offended the fact that I want to be a good father, so you say that, so no, I react in a way that makes me not a good father? Or is it, yes, that's hurtful, yes, I don't want to hear things like that, but you know something? I don't need to react to that. I don't even need to hold to that like, oh my gosh, if I'm not a good father, then I'm nothing or I'm dust or... You see what I'm saying? See, there are quick things like that, that all of a sudden I discovered in that I am more connected to the idea of being a good father in that instance than I am connected to God. Because now if a comment or a situation can push me to become ungodly because of what someone has done or circumstance that happened, guess what? God's not my banner in that. I'm clinging to something else. I'm identifying myself with... I'm looking for resources someplace else. You know, so are we willing to rest? Are we willing to come in terms of God being our banner and receiving from it all that God wants us to do and be? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the names that you have in your word and how it helps us identify you, to define you in terms of what you're trying to be for us. And so, Father, as we think of this Jehovah Nissa, you're our banner. Father, I just pray that more and more we understand that we come together, that we follow. Father, even as we consider communion and all that means in terms of us remembering Jesus and the sacrifice that He made, even in terms of the people on that wall, Father, I confess that I've been negligent to pray for my people, the people that I put on that wall. Father, I confess that if not for this Sunday and what we do toward communion, I might not pray for them with the intentionality that I believe that I should. And so now as we kind of prepare for communion, let's take a time to pray for those people. And whether you choose to pray silently, whether you choose to put another name up there, at this time, let's just take time to pray for the people on that wall.